Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, scowling can be fun.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 1, The Bostonians. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. We're so glad you're here. We want to tell you while you are here about what's happening over on our Patreon, dropping this Friday, December 12th. It's going to be Again With This 267. Let's watch Katie Holmes in Go. Katie Holmes and about five dozen other people that went on to be hugely famous, like Timothy Oliphant, Sarah Polley, Scott Wolf, Jay Moore, I guess, Taye Diggs, the rest.
Damn, anyway. See?
Melissa McCarthy?
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Great Christmas movie. So if you haven't seen it before, you can rent or purchase it on Amazon. We'll link that in the show notes. And you should, because, you know, irrespective of its connection to the show, it kind of rules. Let's get into our only storyline. The Boston kids are settling in at school while Dawson meets an adult in LA who doesn't think he's a wunderkind. We open on Joey and Dawson where we left them, silhouetted on his bedroom window shade, kissing, while Ken Marino, of all people, reads a story about the moment. It is narrated in the third person, but it's from the girl's perspective, so obviously this work is by Joey in a creative writing class at Worthington. And what we hear tells us she really should have stuck to the visual arts. Clip two.
And then, just like that, they were kissing. She didn't know how they got there. She had no idea. The thought of kissing this boy hadn't crossed her mind in years, which was weird, because once upon a time, that was all she ever thought about. And then, just like that, it was over. He coughed. She shuffled her feet. And she laughed to herself. It had been one of those moments. One of those moments where you shuck your status as mere mortal and achieve, however briefly, true greatness. She had shared many such moments with this boy. But now he was leaving, and nothing would ever be the same again.
Okay. Also, and just like that twice in the same excerpt? Yeah. Come on.
Also, you're Frenching Dawson, not pioneering space travel.
No.
Settle down.
One of Joey's male classmates, Alex, calls it a Hallmark card about a high school crush. Who cares? I don't disagree with him, but sidebar, he reminds me of the most piggish English classmate I had in college, whom I also went to high school with. He later subbed for a class that my sister took, and he asked her if we were related because, you know, not a very common last name. She said we were, and then she asked, what's your name? So she could say that she'd run into him, and he would only tell her his name was Mr. his name. Because he was that kind of a guy. So anyway, apropos of nothing, really. A female classmate says, clip three.
It's like Joyce Carol Oates meets Judy Blume.
You say that like it's a good thing.
I mean, isn't it a good thing? Like, it's not correct, but just like Joyce Carol Oates meets Judy Blume, like, just if you're familiar at all with either of them, just marinate on what that would sound like.
Yeah.
For a second, Joey could not touch the hem of that hybrid's garment, no. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yes. Professor Wilder, formerly known as Ken Marino, tells Alex not to dismiss Judy Blume, who taught the professor everything he ever knew about teen girls, and then clip four.
So, Miss Potter, got some good news and I've got some bad news. Good news is, class is over. Today's torture has come to an end.
Bad news?
You are obviously a writer. Which means the torture has just begun.
Maybe for us.
Seriously. Yeah, don't hang a light on that shit. Writer's room.
Also, apparently she's a mediocre writer since he returns her story with a C. And after class, Joey chases down Professor Wilder, who correctly guesses she really hated getting that grade. She asks clip five.
I was wondering if there's anything I can do to make that C a little bit less of a C.
Yeah, we've been wondering that for about two seasons now.
Jester from summer school. That's it. Now you're getting it.
Wilder gives an obvious yet also generous answer, clip six.
Absolutely. You can rewrite it.
How can I do that?
Did you sign up for a creative writing class without learning what revising is?
Do you maybe need occupational therapy?
Professor Wilder clearly already knows the answer when he asks whether this story is about a real boy. Joey and her pedal pushers say it is, and that this boy is coming for a visit this weekend, actually. No. And Wilder says that will help Joey fix her story, which currently ends where it should begin. And then he pops an eyebrow and goes on his way, and the shot lingers so we can see, oh my God, so many extras on this campus. Wow, we really pulled out all the stops.
Okay, I'm just going to note here, hopefully for the last time, but I'm not going to make promises like that because y'all know me. I was like, wow, where did they film this? Oh, that's right, a replica of the Princeton campus. Mm. They're at Duke, and there were many articles written in around this time about how Duke's Durham, North Carolina campus was standing in for not Harvard, Worthington, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, they really did copy the buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're just like, well, you know, that's the Princeton of the South. Like, no, the Princeton of the South is Princeton. I married a UNC grad. I can't deal with any of this. I hate all of it. And I especially hate Wilder, who I'm going to be calling Vinny Van Wilder all season. I am sorry, but I can only be what I am. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's try to move on.
Okay. The credits are remixed. Some of the new stuff includes the shot of the quad that we just saw, Dawson in his new short hair sitting on some marble steps, Joey running by a river, Jen and her bangs reading a book, Jen and Jack, the latter with newly shaggy hair, cocking their heads to the side in unison, Jack sitting on the back of a bench, Joey looking around the quad in wonderment, Dawson on the lawn at his parents' house, Joey hugging herself, walking across the quad. No Meredith Monroe. She is no longer present, even in only credit form.
I think we saw a series wrap on her, even though that was like accidental.
Right.
I think she was supposed to be in the series finale or shot scenes for it, and then they did not appear in the aired version.
Right.
So I'm glad they at least updated the credits, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad, though. I did like the character.
Agree. We open on Joey running in the shot that we just saw in the credits. We were so down bad in 2001 Waistband Wives that she has her running shorts yanked like halfway down her hips and a strip of midriff showing under her normal length t-shirt. Like, you can't yank your athletic shorts down like that. They're gonna fall off. That's not what they're for.
Especially since you have your cell phone clipped to the waistband.
She sure does.
Yeah.
That cell phone soon rings. It is Dawson, whose arm hair I guess they're not even kind of trying to hide anymore now that he's a college man. The good news is he got that internship he was up for. The bad news is it means he can't come visit this weekend. Clip seven.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing you.
Kind of?
You know what I mean?
Well, I was kind of looking forward to seeing you, too.
There's always next weekend.
She'll probably turn into next month.
Or next year.
Before you know it, it'll be a Christmas card every now and then, when your wife remembers.
Yeah, we should probably just say goodbye forever right now.
Yeah, we might as well.
Drama queen.
I know.
Could you guys like stop trying to be cute and just confirm that what Joey wrote is accurate and that it's over? Like, I'm begging you to just be friends, please.
Yeah, please.
But the fact that she looks near tears as she hangs up does not fill me with hope. And then we cut back to Dawson in LA. He's walking onto the studio lot. And I know you don't need to wear a suit and probably shouldn't, but I don't think you should show up for your first day at a job like this in stubble, a linen shirt with nothing underneath, cargo shorts, and open-toed sandals on a man.
Slides, no less. Like, you're a film set intern. You're going to be running around helping everyone and lifting stuff. You're going to get a blister. You're going to get spilled on. Mm-hmm. We don't need to see your toe hair, college man.
No. Work boots would not be out of the question. You could be doing anything on the set.
Mm-hmm.
You need pants. Anyway, most people walking up to a studio guardhouse would not expect anything but the most essential attention, but Dawson is special, and apparently everybody on both coasts knows that. Clip 8.
First day. You nervous?
No. Not, yeah.
Okay, this guy doesn't care. Like, he's just making conversation.
Yeah. Nor should he.
He does, unfortunately, but don't expect that he does.
No.
This guy's name is Langer. He gives Dawson a kindly smile, and there is way too much business around the whole process of this interaction, including Dawson getting honked at by a blonde driving a Porsche Carrera with the top down. Although I can say when we see what's across the street from the lot, I think it's CBS Radford in Studio City, if anybody cares. But when Langer, the guard, comes back, he gives Dawson direction and adds, clip 9.
Dawson, try not to get lost in there.
Oh, thanks, Studio Angel.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Over to Boston Bay College. Jack and his new hair are scoping out the guys with Jen, who exposits that Jack and Toby are still together long distance. Where is Toby going to school? We don't know. Jen is in low-rise flares, or they're more like carpenter pants, I guess. They're too wide through the thigh on her, and either they're like, they're not long enough and they're not short enough. Like, they're not long enough to be pants on her or short enough to be cropped. It's like they're supposed to be cropped on a taller person. They make her legs look so stumpy. I'm furious for her.
Yeah. It's also a weird weight of fabric. Mm-hmm. Like, it just needed like 2 turns of roll at the bottom to fix it and put her in a boot, something to break it up. But it was not happening.
No. When they find a table, we also determine Jen is single and not happy about it. Jack thinks she needs to get some soon. The last guy she was with was Henry, which it is crazy that this is actually the case, but it is.
Not Henry.
Jack likes Jen better when she's with a guy because the way she stresses out about it is entertaining for him. Jack then has to catch a football flying at them. The guy who comes to get it, who has weirdly pale legs, by the way, tells them about a frat party that night. Jack is also horny for this guy. Jen is unimpressed. Back at Worthington, Joey's in her dorm room, hunched over her desk with a strip of bare back showing above her waistband, because it's 2001 when her roommate Audrey comes back and we welcome Busy Phillips to the party.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Audrey.
Yay.
Audrey.
In a way that lets us know this is not the first time Audrey asks Joey to get lost because a guy named Zach is waiting outside. No, not the guy with the tattoo of his frat on his ankle. That was Tom. And he was a bad kisser with hair on his back, so Audrey dumped him. Joey whines that she's already spent hours being sexiled by Audrey, but Audrey's totally ready to return the favor when Joey's beau comes to visit. Joey says he's not, and he's also not coming. Clip 10.
Dunstan's not coming?
Dawson.
Right.
Dunstan. Oh my God, keep these coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Audrey.
Darcy? Dawson. No one cares.
Derek? Audrey offers to get rid of Zach if Joey needs to talk, but Joey's leaving anyway to go see Professor Wilder. And Audrey's like, that's what you're wearing, which I assume means she thinks it's not sufficient because her top looks like underwear. But in fact, she thinks Joey's not sexing it up enough, considering Professor Wilder is gorgeous, which, by the way, he is. Sorry.
Yeah, no, he is. But did we learn nothing from Tamara?
No.
Please stop doing this.
I know.
Show.
When Joey gets to the apartment, there are already dozens of girls in line, presumably with "love you" written on their eyelids like in Raiders of the Lost Ark. So Joey gives up and is back outside when she sees a window open and Professor Wilder hop out to escape the hordes. When he sees her, he realizes he's busted. And when she comments on what a great gig he has being swooned at by freshman girls, he shrugs that a few hours at home getting abused by his wife and child keep him grounded. And then he lets her ruin the beautiful day by asking about her story. Clip 11.
Well, you said that the story should start where it ended, but the problem is nothing happened after that. The two people just went their separate ways.
How dumb are you? Like, I'm seriously asking. Even Dawson knows better than this. Go back to drawing. You are not fit for this class.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just exhausting.
Professor Wilder, more generous than I am, says he doesn't even know what the kiss meant. Joey says it was just a kiss, but Professor Wilder says that's meaningless, listing a few different things it could have meant, like goodbye, and Joey is shook. And then we're back in L.A. watching Dawson take more than 30 seconds to walk through the studio lot and gawk at all the Hollywoodiness of it before finally getting to the production office. An assistant tells him she'll be right back, but first he gets intercepted by Heather Tracy, who's played by Nicole Bilder back from Bring It On. She pulls him into a conference room and tells him what a great writer he is. It's her job to know. Dawson's a huge fan of Todd's, especially his music videos. Heather says those were a great stepping stone, but now they're focusing on features. Dawson knows this Todd is making something called Damage Inc. on the lot right now, which, like, oh, that's a really weird thing to call that, because from what we see, there's, like, an astronaut suspended in space. Like,
I know, what?
It doesn't look like a movie called Damage Inc. Anyway, because Dawson is used to getting his ass kissed by everyone he meets, it takes him way too long to figure out that Heather has mistaken him for someone else. Clip 12.
I'm trying to talk him into doing the feature version of Seventh Heaven.
The TV show?
Yes. What do you think?
I think that's, you know, weird.
Exactly. The plan is to do it with more of a serious edge, like what they did with the Brady Bunch movie. And that's where you come in.
I don't get it.
David, your sample was perfect. You have just the right voice for this project.
To Dawson.
Excuse me?
My name's Dawson.
Dawson Hartley.
Dawson Leary.
Who's Dawson Hartley?
I have no idea.
Oh, Dawson Leary. Right, right. What have I read of yours?
Probably just my resume.
David Hartley is here. Ashley.
Who is this? The new intern?
Ashley's fired.
Also, I mean, Ashley actor is someone's niece because she's not very good.
No.
David Hartley also is a producer on the show at this point. I have to say, a Seventh Heaven movie in the style of the Brady Bunch movie, it's not the worst idea I ever heard. I would be curious.
Or like a BH-90210 hybrid where they sort of get into how Stephen Collins made the whole marketing of that show possible.
Something.
Too dark? Probably.
Then we're at a handsome brick house where Jen is serving tea to Jack and Joey, behind whom the house goes on and on and on. It is enormous, this place.
It's like that one hall in Versailles with just like all the mirrors and more chairs and mirrors. And you're like, is this an ante room or is it an actual football field?
Right. Like the whole idea of her selling the house was to downsize. Like, even if this place is
raise money for Jen's tuition, which
right.
you will have none if you buy an even bigger house than you had in Capeside.
In Boston.
In Boston.
Right.
So dumb.
Yes. Even if this is a duplex, which it appears to be from the outside, like, it's enormous. If she bought it with help from the very off-screen Joseph so that Jack could also live there, like, we need a line of dialogue to explain that, because this is too much house. A nice three-bedroom condo would make much more sense and would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I guess she needed a formal dining room at her new life. Anyway, the students are all discussing where Pacey might be and joking about him pulling a Colonel Kurtz. When Jen suggests that he could be anywhere, including Boston, nobody picks up on it. Joey thinks Audrey's probably done with her latest conquest by now. Jen and Jack joke about Audrey's future in adult film, but Joey says she really doesn't ever know what she's going to see when she opens the door. Jen sighs that it's the same there. They never know whom Gramps is going to bring home from bingo. Before Joey leaves, Jack asks if they're going to see her later. Joey asks if they're really frat party people, but Jack thinks that's exactly where they should go. They need to challenge their preconceived notions of college and reinvent themselves, which is like, it's October. Like, you would have been to a frat party by now.
Yeah, really.
Joey doesn't know what's gotten into Jack. Jen says a cute boy invited him, and Jack does not disagree. And then Dawson gets to the stage when this Todd character is mid-rant at his crew. Somehow Todd's contempt for everyone who works for him does not extend to Dawson, who introduces himself in his position and hands him the script that Heather sent him over with for Todd to read between takes. Todd tests its heft and clip 13.
Crap. I'm sure of it. Heather doesn't have the best taste of material. She's pretty hot though, huh?
Can't argue with that.
Well, you could not agree.
Yeah. Also, you should. HR exists.
Mm-hmm. Todd gives Dawson back the script, sending him to Todd's chair to read it and tell Todd what he thinks. Dawson does not need to be told twice, sitting in the chair with an I can't believe this is my life look at no one in particular because everyone else is just, you know, working. And then Joey covers her eyes as she returns to her room, but Audrey's just sitting on her bed reading a magazine. When she sees that Joey's back, she abruptly asks whether Joey has ever had an orgasm. We still don't know the answer to that, and we're not going to find out today, as Joey haughtily tells Audrey it's not something she likes to discuss with near strangers. Audrey is offended that her roommate would describe her that way, but quickly moves on. She thought she had had orgasms in high school, but Zach really changed her mind. It's too bad they had to break up. He tried to get her to have a threesome. Audrey is easy, but she's not sleazy, she says. And then adds that she's worried Joey's not having the proper college experience, since all she ever wants to do is study. Joey says that everyone's college experience is different. Some people actually want to study, get a great education, and save themselves from having to work retail in the small town they come from. I mean, that's probably not what you'd have to do. You'd work at your family's B&B, just saying, and that probably wouldn't be so bad. But Audrey thinks it's more than that. It's like Joey is afraid to have fun. Joey doesn't know why she possibly would be afraid of that. Clip 14.
Because if you had fun, you might actually meet someone you liked. If you actually met someone you liked, you might actually have to let go of the past. Look, I know that you're sad that your special guy couldn't come this weekend. I get that. I'm highly intuitive. But maybe that's a good thing, you know? Maybe that's a sign.
Yeah, no offense, Audrey, but you really don't know that much about my life.
And whose fault is that, I wonder?
We've really been missing this kind of energy. I love what she's bringing to the table.
I know. Busy Phillips can really sell this. Everyone kind of talks the same overwritten-ness make it feel so natural. So I had completely forgotten what a breath this was for everyone, even though I had basically stopped watching at this point. And so everything is kind of new to me. I only remember it from reading Jessica Morgan's outstanding recaps. Mm-hmm. Joey, like, you're so exhausting. Uh-huh. Like, you don't have to be best buddies with your roommate, but honestly, freshman year, usually you are kind of still friends until, like, Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
And then you stop clinging to the new people who are around you. But, oh my God, so many excellent points. Audrey.
Mm-hmm. Then we're at a marina in Boston where Jen and her unflattering pants are bringing some kind of iced coffee or smoothie to Pacey, who is apparently living on a yacht there. After some exposition about Doug selling him out to Jen, Pacey and his new weirdly dark and thick eyebrows ask the latest on the theories about him, and she reports on the conversation we just saw in the kitchen. You can go to the visual aids and see these eyebrows. They look different in a way I can't really put my finger on, but it was disturbing.
Yeah, no, there's a like early 20s influencer feud : Betty and Joan vibe happening that I don't get it. It's not like his eyebrows were wee. Mm-hmm. Before that, they look drawn on.
Yeah, they did. I know around this time he was in some movies where he was like a bleached blonde. This is post Cruel Intentions, but I think Gossip or Urban Legend, one of those, I think he was a blonde. Yeah. And so maybe he had to dye them back in a hurry and they just came out weird.
That, yeah.
When he specifically asks about Joey, Jen says she likes to think of him happy, and Pacey says he is. Jen adds that she said he could be in Boston, but everyone prefers to think of him somewhere more exotic. Jen says he would be even happier if he came out with them that night, but he declines. She then mentions that Grams makes them all have dinner together on Sundays and that Pacey would be very welcome. He, however, is noncommittal and asks about Dawson. When Jen tells him why Dawson couldn't come that weekend, Pacey says Dawson has the right idea, doing his own thing out in the world and not looking backwards. And when they hug, he asks Jen to keep his secret a little longer, and she will, but she will not keep it forever.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Then Joey is coming into her room with party hair, a party top, and a not party dumpy cardigan to see Jack, so Jen, dumpy. And Audrey having a grand old time without her. Audrey is delighted to have learned all about Joey's sordid romantic past, apparently for the first time, even though, as I said, it's October. Joey guesses she doesn't have to make introductions and is correct. Clip 15.
Jen is my new best friend, and Jack will heretofore be known as Joey's very cute guy friend.
Oh, no, he's Joey's very cute gay friend.
No, really?
Pretty gay.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing we can do about this?
Look, I have been kissed by two of the finest female specimens this world has to offer. If that didn't do it.
Both of you girls have kissed this boy? That is just so unfair.
So are we going or what?
Yeah. The way you're on.
We do?
She's one cool chick, Joe.
She is?
Duh. Yeah, like you would know. Oh my god.
Yeah. One of you is a girl five ever. The other one is you.
That's right. Back to LA, where Dawson is confirming to Todd that the script sucks. There's a monkey in it. Todd shrugs that he will probably do it anyway since Drew Barrymore is attached and he can just fix the script. Writing's not that hard. He then asks what Dawson's plans are. When Dawson says he also wants to direct, Todd asks what he's doing about it. Clip 16.
USC Film School.
Film School's for pussies. What are you really doing about it?
I made a documentary last year about A.I. Brooks.
Who?
He was this pulp director from the 50s. It's an amazing story. Actually, I can show it to you if you want.
No, thanks.
Nah.
MVP. MVP.
Literally in my notes. Also, I can't believe they were saying pussies on the WB at this point in history. Crazy.
Yeah.
But there it is. It's not just no, however. Clip 17.
Look, you're like, what, 18?
Yeah.
Chances are it's bad. And if I agree to look at it and it does indeed suck, then I have to come up with some sort of BS so you don't feel bad. And if on the off chance it's actually any good, what do I need that for? Why would I want to be jealous of some 18-year-old kid who makes better flicks than I do? Do you see my predicament?
They're ready for you, Todd.
Welcome to Hollywood, Dawson.
People don't say that if they're actually in the industry. Oh, my God. Unless it's a joke.
No. He also would not have nearly this much time for Dawson.
No!
Like, is Dawson going to be able to get the attention of even a second AD? Probably not.
No, a director is making like 70,000 decisions a day. He is not here for the intern.
Yeah, we also have Project Greenlight. Do better.
Anyway, Dawson, also, you should have learned your lesson on this shit with has to look it up. Miss Kennedy, remember her?
Oh, yeah. And also that you were a director yourself and somehow shot that whole stupid movie starring Rachel Lee Cook.
Yep. Over to the frat party where Joey is me at a college party, standing uncomfortably with a cup, wishing she had brought a book, not being fun. The band on stage, which includes Chad Michael Murray, forever in my heart, for his role in Freakier Friday, best film of 2025, is playing Iran. Joey looks up sharply when she hears Audrey get on mic and join in on the chorus, throwing devil horns with the pipes we will later come to know, as Sarah said, in Girls by Eva.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Audrey, instead of looking where she's going, Joey runs headfirst into a guy we will soon find out is named Elliot Sawyer. You can see this stunt in the visual aids because she, like, clearly reacts before she actually is kind of even that close to him, like, grabbing her head before they connect. She didn't nail it.
He's also doing some weird, I pulled this quarter out of your ear blocking in the background that maybe I just watched the GIF too many times, but it's, it's not great.
He, however, is played by Ned Brower, better known to 2025 audiences as Hot Nurse Jessie with the earring and the gray hair from The Pit.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2001, he is a classmate of Joey's who has committed her usual seat row and number to memory and noticed the way she tucks her hair behind her ear when she's taking notes, because of course she does. And he suggests they go somewhere quieter to talk, promising not to headbutt her. Joey seems like she's into it, but then gets a slightly wistful look as she declines to go and check on her friend instead, and Elliot takes no for an answer. And inside, Jen somehow manages to turn down an invitation by a frat guy to come see his stereo and blacklight posters. When he asks why, she says she's not going to sleep with him, and yes, she's pretty sure she's not going to change her mind, and when you see him in the visual aids, you will know why, because speaking of bleached blondes, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
By the keg, Jack runs into the football guy who invited him to the party and immediately starts pitching Jack on joining the frat in a very homoerotic way, I'm going to say, clip 18.
I'm glad it was not just me.
Mm-hmm.
You make a commitment to me, I'll take care of you. You're my boy.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Isn't that illegal now?
I don't know.
Amazing.
Yeah. I don't know, but it reminds me of a story that Matt Rogers told on Las Culturistas about hooking up with a guy who called him little bro in bed. That's all I'll say.
Oh, no.
No, it was, he liked it. He said it was hot.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
I mean, okay. As None long of my as business. Everyone was okay with it.
Yeah.
Nope, mine either.
Jack doesn't really say anything either way, and when his would-be brother ? Moves on, the guy, motions to another guy with a Polaroid who blinds Jack taking a flash photo he is very unprepared for. And back in L.A., Dawson brings an overloaded box of coffees to the stage and, as we all knew he would, almost immediately drops them. And as I said in my title for this GIF, this is kind of the one thing you really need to know how to do if you're going to be an intern is bring coffee to set.
Yeah. My notes read, Dawson plus coffee equals yard sale. Yep. And then 28 L's. Oh, well.
Did Todd see? He sure did, guys. Clip 19.
And the Russian judge gives him an 8.5. Incompetence. Everywhere I look. All the way down to the friggin' interns.
Screw you. Excuse me. Is this something you'd like to share with the group?
Nah, forget it.
That's what I thought. Keep your comments to yourself next time, kid, okay? Great. Now, where was I?
Hey, Todd, what I said was screw you.
Ooh.
You should be ashamed of yourself, man. And not because you treat people badly, because a lot of people do that. You should be ashamed of yourself because you have an amazing privilege and you didn't even take it seriously. You get to make movies, man. You get to do this for a living and you don't even appreciate it. This movie's probably gonna suck. I know that, you know that, the entire crew knows that. And your next movie's probably gonna suck too. Somebody gave you the keys to the kingdom and you're blowing it. I feel sorry for you. If I ever get here, I'm gonna do things a lot differently.
Dave laughing at the spontaneous applause, which ends as soon as Todd turns around.
Mm-hmm.
So Todd then gets close to Dawson and tells him he's got balls and he's fired. As Todd goes back to work, Dawson smiles ruefully to himself and then walks his poorly clad ass off the stage. Huh? Back in Boston, Audrey urges Joey to sing with the band. No, thank you. She should not. No, I dreamed a dream with Chad Michael Murray. Thank you. She notices Joey looking pensive. Joey admits that Audrey was right. She is stuck in the past. She's a college freshman, which if Joey would let Audrey get to know her, Audrey would know is a big deal. And she's working hard and falling in love with this new city, but part of her is still 15 and in love with the boy down the creek who only sees her as a friend. Jerk off motion. Audrey confesses about Chris, her high school boyfriend. Saying goodbye to him was brutal, but she knew they would have no shot if they tried to stay together. But she still sometimes gets sad, thinking of him falling in and out of love with girls who aren't her. She guesses Joey thinks that Audrey is a huge slut, but she's just trying to have fun. And if she feels like kissing some boys, then so be it. Joey finishes for her. This seems to spark an epiphany in Joey. And then we see her in the next scene, hogging the bathroom to leave Dawson a long-winded message on his answering machine, announcing that she's doing what she should have months ago, letting him go. Please let it be true. Spoiler, it's not.
And I feel like this was a direct rip from that late season 2 episode of Felicity where she left like 15 messages for Ben. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know what your problem is? And then they all go back to the loft and she's like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But this one ends with like, I'm saying goodbye, Dawson. Okay, call me back, which was like a very Felicity thing that it was like, yeah, not on this show.
No.
It's not going to work.
Back in Dawson's dorm room, his answering machine blinks. And then Jen is sitting alone when Chad Michael Murray from the band comes toward her. She says a preemptive no at him and guesses how he was planning to hit on her. When he says he's not that guy, she guesses he's trolling the party, trying to seem sensitive, but he's not that guy either. He's the guy who is there because they paid the band $50 to play. Jen gets embarrassed, saying they were actually good. You're fine. He tells her he enjoyed spending this moment with her and starts to walk off before coming back and admitting he was just going to tell her his name, which is Charlie, and ask hers. He was hoping she was not the kind of person who usually comes to parties like this, which would explain why the cutest girl here is sitting alone. And she is right. Most of the guys here are creeps and the girls are even worse. He hopes they don't procreate. Jen and Charlie will have to fight to keep them from taking over the world. When he's almost gone, she calls out that her name is Jen. He says it's nice to meet her and continues on his way, not getting her last name or phone number or anything.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no other Jens in the Boston metro.
Certainly not.
It'll be fine.
And, you know, it's not like she might be in the student guide as like Jennifer. He has no idea.
Mm.
But he does bump into Jack, who is glad to see Jen looking so smiley. And then Langer, the guardhouse angel, is still on shift as Dawson trudges out, having to admit when Langer asks that he just got fired from a job that doesn't even pay. Langer says there are worse things, but Dawson is like, not at the moment. And I would just say, I mean, one worse thing is some people can't take a job that doesn't pay, for starters.
Yeah.
That's a worse thing.
Those people who know what to wear and also weren't like lounging around on the set apparently for another 3 hours until the sun went down. What have you been doing? Shopping for closed-toed shoes? Leave, butthole.
Langer asks where Dawson is from, and when Dawson says Cape Side, clip 20.
Okay, sure. I'm from Boston originally.
Oh, boy.
No, not really.
No, not really. You're from Tucson, sir. Don't front.
100% from the Tuce.
Dawson says all his friends are in Boston, but he's here because making movies was his dream. Langer asks how the dream is lining up with reality. Not great, Langer, it seems. Langer offers to call Dawson a cab and get his loser ass off the lot ASAP. He doesn't say it that way. That's me. And the Boston College kids, minus Audrey Rude, make it back to Graham's house, quizzing Jen about her new boy. Jen is shy, but does supply his name and snaps at Jack that he's not dumb. Jen then says that if there are cookies in the cupboard, she will devote herself to God and his teachings. And there are Milanos. And Jen finds them just as Grams comes down to join them in teasing Jen about her love life. And it's all very cute. And the sun is up by the time Joey makes it back to campus, marveling that she's really here and eating up screen time in the way we love to see. Like, nothing happens except her just looking around for like 35 seconds. Great.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot her from behind as she's walking back, and the jeans do nothing for her butt. Bad episode for jeans on girls, I'll say. Audrey has the right idea in a skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And when Joey gets back to her door, it's just in time to see Elliot from the party leaving their room. Audrey is dead asleep as Joey flops into bed. When there's a knock on the door, Joey assumes it's for Audrey, who resists Joey's attempts to make her go get it. And Audrey's right, because the person at the door is fucking Dawson, who I guess walked straight from the stage to the airport and got on a plane and is here now.
And I guess sold his Apple laptop to raise the money to fly back to Boston in the middle of the fucking night last minute.
On no notice. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. In the fall of 2001.
Okay. They hug. I do not consent. At least Joey's mood goes from jubilant to wary almost immediately. So that's something for me to cling to as we wait for the next episode. But that's season 5. Kicking off, getting to the zone where we have no idea what's going to happen at all.
Oh,
which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's nice to be surprised. At least we'll be together.
That's true. Let's name the episode MVP. Audrey.
Honorable mention to Jen, who, unlike one of your co-hosts, immediately saw through that, want to see my room? I cannot fucking tell you how many times I fell for that. Like, oh, sure. Wait, isn't this the same Ansel Adams poster? Hey, why are you licking my face? But I always consented and everything was fine. But yeah, Audrey, and it's not close. And I don't think she's going to have some competition, maybe for the remaining two seasons, but not much.
Mm-hmm. Least valuable player. Dawson, like, do you understand what it means to pay your dues? Like, this is the tiniest amount of shit anyone ever ate before deciding they weren't going to eat shit for a job that they were lucky to have.
God. I don't disagree. He's in the conversation, but I got to go studio lot security guard Tucson Al or whatever the fuck his name is. Don't encourage this kid.
No.
Once you saw the sandals, you should have been like, this is none of my business, and just directed him where he was going and not made eye contact again. It's the safest thing. Yep. Next time on Again With This, Pacey gets a job and a girlfriend. Jen finally gets it in, and all the new credits cast additions get fed up with the Joey Dawson drama. Relatable. You remember being relatably fed up with 3-inch rises on ladies' dungarees. Our visual aids are the place for you. We do visual aids for every episode of this podcast, and you can find this bitch tapestry at our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's where all our archives live, too, so come on by. I'm Are You There, God? It's me, Mary Jo Kopechne, script coverage, Sarah D. Bunting. And I am not only extremely proud of that, I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Russian judge Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole's torture has just begun. Talk to you next time.
You say that like it's a good thing.